The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Welcome into our Friday edition of the Leach Report. Once again, coming to you from the Bahamas Bureau. Last show from here. The last game for Kentucky will be Sunday, and then we'll be heading back Monday morning. But this will be our final show from this spot, assuming the power stays on for the entire remaining 55 minutes. And after last night, that's no guarantee. What a crazy night with 2 minutes and I think it was 57 seconds left in the first half. Kentucky had an 18-point lead, and the place went dark. Now, quickly they had lights back on, some amount of lighting with a generator, but it was midway through the second half before everything came back. It was a night that people will, especially the people here, will be talking about for quite a while. We'll talk about that and other topics today as it pertains to the basketball Cats and the football Cats. Stan Dockett, who's working the games here for ESPN, will join us. Chris Fisher from the Cats Paws. Fletcher Page from the Courier-Journal. We'll also, I think, have time to hear from Dar Tucker, one of the players for San Lorenzo, and I think you'll like some of the things that he has to say about playing against the Wildcats. That's our guest lineup. It's always presented by Sleep Outfitters. Let's get to the Wildcat news of the day. That's a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Night and day difference when it came to the shooting for Kentucky last night as they went out and shot 64%, made 7 of 12 threes in a 91-68 win over San Lorenzo from Argentina, a team that has won three straight league titles in their league, which is in the top tier in Argentina. This wasn't the entire team that won those titles or even won the most recent one. They had a few changes to their roster, but one of the recent pickups was maybe their best player, Jerome Mianzi, a former Virginia Cavalier who was a load for Kentucky to handle early in the second half when San Lorenzo cut the lead from 18 to 9. But Kentucky pushed it back out. Tyler Hero, another big game with 22 points. P.J. Washington took charge in the second half when San Lorenzo was making its run. He finished with 15. I think all but two of those came in the second half. Quade Green was hot early. You may have seen on Twitter that he went into the arena here around midnight on Wednesday after he went 1 for 11 in the first game, and he spent about 2 hours getting shots up, and he was on fire early in the game and helped set the tone for Kentucky. E.J. Montgomery did not play because of a sore back. Cal is able to, down here, he's not coaching, he's watching from the stands, so we're able to get T.J. Beisner to have conversations with him at times during timeouts. And during one of them, he said that EJ is not likely going to play in the remaining two games, but he'll be fine. He'll be back for long, but just they're not going to push it down here since these are exhibition games. Cal said also during one of those sessions during a timeout, he said, you know, things looked really smooth because they were playing mainly eight guys. He said it's hard to play nine and impossible to play 10 without platooning, and that's not going to happen. So that's a constant theme that people are going to earn their minutes on this group, that there's not going to be any rationing of them via a platoon system. Tomorrow, Kentucky faces what will be likely its biggest challenge here, Mega BMAX from Serbia. They have a 6'11 player who is right now projected as a second-round pick in next year's NBA draft. Somebody in the UK staff told me that's part of the reason why there are all going to be so many NBA scouts here tomorrow night is to watch this young man play. And I tweeted out a link to a scouting video I found on YouTube a little bit earlier this morning so you can see his game. A couple of notes from football. Matt House, defensive coordinator, talked yesterday, said Jordan Jones has been slowed by an ankle injury. The shoulder that was the question mark coming into the season has not been an issue, but Jordan has been slowed by this ankle, but he is going to be able to be good to go by the start of the season. Josh Allen talked about him switching over to the other side as an outside linebacker to what they call the jack position. House said this will give him more of an opportunity to rush the passer from there. Boogie Watson has gotten significantly bigger. He is getting positive reviews in the early days. And Dean Hood, the who works with special teams, talked about Grant McInnes getting some work as a kicker. He has lost the punting job, but taking a look at him as a kicker. So in the past, Kentucky's had punters who also served as the kickoff man. So I would be surprised if McInnes ends up being the field goal guy, but wouldn't be surprised if he won the kickoff job. I think there's question marks there with a freshman Chance Poor, with Miles Butler, a veteran who doesn't have quite as strong a leg as certainly as McInnes did last season, and then now McInnes maybe being in the mix. Links to the stories that we talk about can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. Quick break and back to continue from the Bahamas. It's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
Find out more about the Voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
Welcome back to the Bahamas. We are efforting Dan, so we'll go to something else here for a second and then catch up to him hopefully here in a few minutes. A couple of notes about last night that we'll get to before an interview that we have here with one of the players from San Lorenzo. When the power went out, we were just talking about this here, it was as dark as it could be. I mean, if not for people holding up their cell phones with the lights, I don't know that you could have seen your hand in front of your face. It was that dark. Then after just a few minutes, the temporary lighting came back on that gave us light in the arena here. And then we had no internet signal, so we had no broadcast capability. And I jumped on my cell phone and via Skype was able to call back and do a couple of updates with Tim Anstead in our studio on the UK network, and then lost the ability for that to get a signal on my phone. So when I was Mike and I were calling the second half, the first 10 minutes or so of the second half, on a cell phone, it wasn't mine. Somebody, I think Lee K. Howard, was jokingly tweeting that he would try to call and see if I would pick up. Was actually a friend of the show, so to speak, who gave us her phone, and we found a way to get a call out. And so we did the game. I would hand the phone to Mike to do analysis, and we did it that way. I've done high school games occasionally like that years ago when we'd lose a phone line. But as I tweeted last night, I think it was a rotary phone that I was using in those days. So it was an unusual experience, kind of a fun thing to adjust on the fly. Once is enough to get a taste of that, but it was definitely an unusual experience. Now, let's hear from Dar Tucker. He's a player who played collegiately at DePaul, had a stint in the D-League where he scored a bunch of points, never could quite make it back to the NBA, and is playing in Argentina now, one of the best players for this team that Kentucky beat last night. And after the game, I asked him for some thoughts on the Wildcats.
Give me some impressions of the Kentucky guys you went up against.
I like them. They're young. They're tough. I like them. I think Kentucky always been good. You know what I mean? I think they're going to be pretty good this year. I haven't really watched, like, the different college teams. So the only ones I know is Duke. So, but I think they're going to be able to compete with them for sure. I like 14 with Harrell. Love him. I love his game. I love him. I've seen a few games of him in high school.
Oh, really?
And
does the team from Chicago?
Yeah. I love it. I love his game. You know, I love how he plays. Also the big guy, the tall guy, the frog.
Richards.
Yeah, he's pretty good too. So I think they have a pretty good team.
And this is a good team Kentucky was able to defeat tonight. I know you guys have some different players, but I mean, this is, you guys won three straight league titles.
I know. We knew it was going to be tough. We knew that coming in. You know, we wouldn't have came. We didn't think it would be a tough, competitive game. So I mean, it's going to be tough. We just got to get together as a team. I think, you know, right now we're six players new. So we just got to figure out how to put it all together and change the place.
Anything else about the Kentucky kids that impressed you other than those two individuals?
I can't say by names. You would have to give me a list, and I can point them out. But I like a few of them. A few of them is pretty nice. That's pretty good. I think I have a big guard. I think you're playing three.
Number three, Keldon Johnson.
Keldon Johnson.
Yeah,
6'6". I like him. I was talking to him during the game. Freshman.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So I like his game.
From Oak Hill.
Remind me of me when I was younger. Just a big guard. You know what I mean? Very athletic. So, but I like his game a lot, man. But Harold, that's my guy. I'm going. If I got money to bet, I'm going with him.
So he is clearly a big Tyler Hero fan. Dar Tucker, who, as we said, played in Chicago with DePaul. So somewhere along the way there got exposed to Tyler Hero's game. 20 after the top of the hour. We're in the Bahamas, and we're going to take a break and continue with the Leach Report after this timeout. Leach Report from the Bahamas, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, locations in Palomar and the Hamburg Center, locally owned and operated, and patio still open for a little while longer. A great place to enjoy your breakfast, brunch, or lunch at Wild Eggs, and we'll be doing shows from there real soon as we lead up to football season. Disappointed that we won't have Freddie Maggard for our Monday morning quarterback shows now that he is working in the UK football offices and player development and doing a magnificent job, we should say. So I think we're going to do Friday shows, football Friday shows from the Wild Eggs in Lexington. Chris Fisher joins us now from catspaws.com. And we want to talk a little bit about recruiting because Kentucky picked up a commitment this week. But we'll start with the games here in the Bahamas and your impressions of what has caught your eye through two games, Chris.
Well, I think you have to start with the play of Tyler Hero. He hasn't taken very long to dispel the myth that he's just a shooter. At times he's looked like the best and smoothest player on the floor. Hitting shots from, not just three-point range, but from mid-range as well, and finding open teammates and handling the ball and really knows how to play and just really has a lot of tangibles and intangibles that you really can't measure, I guess, as far as effectiveness goes. But he's been really, really good. Nick Richards looked like a completely different player, especially in that first game. Confidence can be crippling, and I think he was in the tank for the better half of last season, but definitely looks much more confident, looks like a completely different player. I think Reed Travis is still adjusting, obviously, which is to be expected. He's only been on campus for less than 2 months now and still probably trying to figure out how John Calipari wants him to play. But the fact that he, you know, pulled down 14 rebounds in 21 minutes in the first game, probably not much to worry about there.
And Hero, he's a good passer. Rex was on with us last week and was raving about his game and saying there's a lot more than just being a spot-up shooter. That's evident now. Cal has said in interview with us for the pregame on Wednesday that he is pushing him to drive the ball more, and he has shown some of that where he's attacked the rim. And I know defensively, at least in the first game, I haven't talked to him about it yet as far as how the film session looked from last night, but the first game he got scolded, I think, in the film session for his defense and given up too many straight-line drives. I think they said they gave up 24 to the Bahamian team, and the number that they'd live with is something in the single digits. So it was way, way up there, and Tyler was a factor in several of those. So that's an area you'll have to clean up. But the thing is, when the rest of your game is as good as his has been down here, you get a little leeway in the other places and get time to improve.
Yeah, definitely. Shooting is an irreplaceable skill. And the way that Kentucky went 2-for-20 in that first game, obviously shot the ball much better last night, and Tyler Hero was – a big part of that. But, yeah, you mentioned his ability to get to the rim as well. And when you can shoot it like that, it's going to give you an advantage in going by guys simply because they're going to have to play, you know, so close up on you. But, yeah, you mentioned the defensive end. Kentucky struggled containing drives last season. And that's appeared to be an issue again through the first two games. But, you know, to be fair, John Calipari hasn't worked on defense at all to this point in the season, and it's August. So definitely a lot of room to improve there. It'll be a give and take, I think, with Tyler Harrell. He'll have to settle in defensively and continue to work on that end of the floor. But if he can make shots like that, especially on nights when Kentucky struggling to put the ball in the basket from the perimeter, it's going to be hard to keep him off the floor.
What about the two freshman point guard candidates, Ashton Hagans and Emmanuel Quickley?
I think Emmanuel Quickley has probably been one of the unsung heroes through the first two games, really balanced in the score sheet. I think he had 6 points and a team-high 7 rebounds and 5 assists last night. Really does a little bit of everything and just looks absolutely rock solid, especially for a freshman. And Ashton Hagans, I can't remember a freshman having that kind of impact on the defensive end, particularly playing on the ball. We've seen, you know, guys like Eric Bledsoe and John Wall kind of get in the passing lanes and use their, you know, freaky athleticism and quickness. But the way he defends on the ball, I think he's Kentucky's best perimeter defender by far, which is crazy to think about, especially with him being a freshman. But I definitely think his on-ball defense has been as good as advertised, if not better.
Mike Pratt has talked about his quickness of his hands reminding him of De'Aaron Fox, where a guy might get past him and he can still make the steal.
Yeah, he has a lot of physical gifts. He's, you know, 6'3". He has a nice size and nice length at that position. But so much of defense is just the want to, and you can see it in him that he wants to really make life miserable for the other team. I think he had 3 steals in that first game. I think he forced a handful of other turnovers and really just kept the Bahamian national team's backcourt off balance all night long. And that really goes a long way on the defensive end. If a team can't set up its offense and do what it wants to do, then it's going to have a much harder time putting the ball in the basket.
Quick thought on what you've seen out of Keldon Johnson's game.
To me, I think he's probably the most likely candidate to lead this team in scoring. He's ultra aggressive. His shots really weren't going down in that first game, but he's not shy about putting it up there, and he's going to try to get to the rim, and he's going to try to dunk everything. I think even from the free throw line, I almost expected him to try to take off and dunk it, but I think he's a good candidate to lead this team in scoring. He's just wired to score and very, very aggressive, which is something I think Kentucky fans will enjoy.
We're chatting with Chris Fisher from CatsPaws.com, and we'll continue that to get into Khalil Whitney's commitment this week when we come back. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington from the Bahamas today.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Chat with Chris Fisher of CatsPaws.com, at ChrisFisher247 on Twitter, and basketball recruiting, among the things he covers for the CatsPaws. So let's talk about Khalil Whitney's commitment. This is the guy that at the start of the year wasn't really on Kentucky's radar, right?
Yeah, they didn't until July the 20th, and then took his first official visit to campus last weekend, and then committed in a span of less than 3 weeks. So there's not a lot of schools out there that can get involved in a recruitment and wrap it up in such a small span of time, but Kentucky is certainly one of those that can do that. And I think it was honestly love at first sight for John Calipari. Watched Khalil Whitney three times during the three July evaluation periods, and typically it's the assistant coaches that do the bulk of the legwork, and then Cal comes in and closes the deal. But really handled the Khalil Whitney recruitment himself, which I think says a lot about how he feels about him, and really has the look of a prototypical NBA wing. He's 6 foot six. He's very athletic, has a close to 7 foot wingspan, and a guy that has really played himself into the conversation as one of the elite prospects in the country. We have him ranked number 14 overall and a top five small forward in the country.
Does his game remind you of anybody? Anybody leaps to mind when you think he's like so-and-so?
You know, I'm not sure. There's nobody really that jumps out, but athletically, he's in that elite class. He's freaky athletic, and really, I think his skill set is starting to catch up to his physical gifts. He's starting to shoot the ball a lot better, averaged over 20 points per game in the EYBL, and can really do a lot of different things. And I think more than anything, John Calipari really liked that alpha dog mentality that he saw out of Khalil Whitney. I think that was one of the things that really jumped out. And so this was a guy, obviously, that Cal felt like he had to have. And didn't take long for Kentucky to replace the decommitment of DJ Jeffries. I said from the beginning I thought that had more to do with Dante Allen and Khalil Whitney, and I think that's been proven here over the last couple of weeks.
That mentality you talked about, that sounds a little like Keldon Johnson.
Yeah, I think both of the. I think they have some similarities. I think Keldon Johnson may be a little bit better perimeter shooter right now than Khalil Whitney, but yeah, both of those guys have endless energy on the court. They're always moving. They're always fighting for balls. And so I think you look at Kentucky's 2019 class, I think most of the work is already done. I think they'll look to maybe add another guard depending on how things shake out, and obviously still in the hunt for a big man, whether that be, you know, James Wiseman, Vernon Carey, or Matthew Hurt. They'll try to come away with one of those guys. And if not, I think you'll see another offer maybe come down the pike here in the next couple of weeks.
The other commitment they got recently was, of course, the young man from Falmouth, Dante Allen. What do you think he ultimately ends up in the rankings, the consensus of the ranking services? Top 30, top 40, top 20?
I think you could say objectively that he has the look of a top 50 player. I mean, you look at what he did in July. I think he added double digit high major offers with his play, led the Under Armour event in scoring out of 78 teams at that event, and really opened a lot of people's eyes. And I think not only went from being a kind of a luxury throw in to Kentucky's 2019 class to really a must-have, I think, for Kentucky with his ability to score from anywhere on the floor. And he looks so effortless, I think, when he does it. But I think at the end of the day, he's probably a top 50, top 60 guy, and really, I think, has a chance to play with Kentucky right away and will definitely have a very meaningful impact over the course of his college career.
Chris, thank you much. Chris Fisher, CatsPaws.com. We are coming to you from the Bahamas, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington here on the Leach Report. The guest lineup, always presented by Sleep Outfitters. Fletcher Page is next from the Courier Journal. This is the Leach Report Radio Network.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach, KY.
Back in the Bahamas, and we bring in Fletcher Page from the Courier Journal. He is back in the bluegrass covering Kentucky football, so we will get to that. But we'll start with a little basketball, Fletcher. I'm sure you're watching these games. Give me your impressions on the first two outings of what you've seen of Kentucky.
Well, I mean, last night, Tyler Hero kind of took things by storm.
I think that, you know, he's a player, a type of scorer, a type of shooter that I think college basketball fans in particular really appreciate. I think you're always curious about a player like him, about how he's going to be able to perform defensively and maybe do some other things, because unfortunately those guys kind of get labeled as three-point shooters and we sort of slot them in. But it seems like he's got a little bit more well-rounded game than maybe some people that like to stereotype would have led us to believe from what he was as a prospect.
With the power outage throwing us a curve last night, we didn't get to this when T.J. Beiser was doing the hits with Cal during our radio broadcast. One of the things I wanted to get Cal to talk about, and maybe we can do this Saturday, is to, since Tyler is shooting it so well, to compare him to a couple of Cal's best shooters of recent vintage, Malik Monk and Jamal Murray, maybe even a Deron Lamb. How does Tyler compare to some of the best shooters he's had here at Kentucky?
That's a good question. I think that Malik kind of comes to mind just because just sort of the way they're built, maybe a little slender, still got the height mm-hmm. that you like. But
long arms,
yeah. Long arms, got the length. It's just two games in a ballroom. So I'm always hesitant. I know that a lot of people are making the comparisons to Rex Chapman, because Tyler is, you know, he's a little bit more, he's not as explosive as Rex. But again, I think that he's got a little bit more wiggle and shake to him in his game than people may be giving him credit for. And I'm not going to say Rex Chapman, but I really have been pleased to see what he's been able to contribute besides the three-point shooting.
And the Malik Monk is interesting. I can see just a little physical similarity with the length and I'd be interested to hear what Cal's thoughts are on that. What about of the returning guys? You covered these guys last season, Nick, Quade, PJ. What are you seeing out of those three in these first two games?
Well, I think Nick is the one that we were all sort of wondering about, because if confidence is your issue, it's probably not going to help if you're bringing in a graduate transfer, and Reed Travis and another highly talented forward and E.J. Montgomery, and then P.J. Washington comes back. So I think that there was some thought that maybe Nick could bury himself mentally, having to go against that every day. So it's always nice when you see somebody answer when they get the first chance. I thought his opening game was strong. He had a confident look. He had a little bit more diversity to his offensive game. And, again, it's a very small sample size, but that's what you need. Just every chance you get to evaluate how a player's responding to the current situation, you want to be able to check the box. And I think Nick's done a great job so far, because if anybody were to make a starting five 2 weeks ago, I don't think Nick Richards would have been in it. I think you'd probably pencil in PJ and Travis. But, Nick's doing what he has to do to show that he's still going to play meaningful minutes and be a strong contributor.
That which doesn't kill you makes you stronger, maybe, for Nick Richards in terms of those guys he's going up against every day and
yeah,
his confidence.
Right. And that's the Kentucky thing. If somebody has the mentality that they want to get better, I've heard it so many times from people who, like an Isaac Humphries or somebody like that, says, might not be getting the playing time I want to get in games, but I am getting the opportunity in practice to become the best player I can become, because I'm going up against Bam Adebayo every day. And while eventually you've got to move on and get into games somewhere, and we're starting to see that now as guys leave Kentucky maybe a little bit earlier than people might imagine, or go take some contracts or jobs overseas. It's interesting to see guys like Quade Green or Nick Richards, where you're kind of going, hey, like for Quade, you're saying there's a lot of guys coming in this perimeter that are more athletic and longer and whatever than you, Quade. And, you know, you hear those whispers about transfer. So when those guys come back and want to mix it up, want to get better, want to improve their game, I mean, that's where Kentucky's going to be at its best, when they've got that kind of mix.
Before we get to football, give me a quick thought on what you've seen in Reed Travis through two.
Yeah, that's a good, again, you've got a guy who's used to a certain system, used to teammates, used to a totally different time zone, literally. So it's wild to me how you can come in and then a couple months later just sort of be mixing in. And I think that it's probably a little different for him. I would imagine he is at such a different level as a human, having already graduated from Stanford, just being such an older voice. So I thought the first game he looked a little hesitant to me offensively, but still the physicality is obvious. He's a grown man, and I thought last night he showed just how strong and physical he can play.
Talking with Fletcher Page, Courier-Journal.com. He's covering Kentucky football, and yesterday was a interview day for the defensive side and Matt House. The Jordan Jones thing, I'm sure, is a little concerning to fans. It's not the shoulder, though, now. This is an ankle that's bothering him, right?
Right, and, you know, with Jordan, you know, he's a star when he's on the field. But, you know, he was limited with injuries last year, shoulder, had the injury in the spring and surgery. They were already expecting to sort of limit what he could do in fall camp to begin with. But now he's got an ankle and a heel injury, not really sure of the severity. Matt House didn't seem that concerned with it. And at this point, if you're a senior, you know, I don't like to downplay the lack of reps or say it's not a big deal if he misses practice, but it certainly is different if a senior and a multi-year starter misses some time. But the thing with Jordan is you just want to see Jordan Jones 100%, not have to have anything nagging, not have to be worried about anything. So, and plus, too, the main issue for Kentucky is whoever plays for Jordan Jones, if he can't play, has never appeared in a college football game before. You were talking about Jamin Davis, redshirt freshman, Chris Oates, DeAndre Square. Those are true freshmen. So that's not an ideal. And obviously Cash Daniel probably be in there as alongside one of the two roles at inside linebacker. He has played in games in the past and mostly on special teams. So you'd like to have Jordan there because he's two things. He's one of your most explosive players, dynamic, and he's one of your most experienced. And if you lose those two kind of qualities, that's where Kentucky gets in trouble.
They started practice just a week ago today, so obviously it's still early. But any names that you're hearing that are creating any kind of buzz through the first part of training camp?
Well, I think the offensive line it's kind of getting some praise just because there's so much more depth there. You just look at the left tackle spot. You've got Landon Young and EJ Price at left tackle. Those are two of the best recruits in the country when they came out of high school in their class. So just sort of the depth that they've assembled on the offensive line. You know, just a year ago they were struggling with injuries. They only had seven or eight legitimate linemen that could practice. And so the difference now when you've got four tackles, three guards, and two centers that you feel are reliable, and I think Kentucky does, you can really work and you can get better in practice. So I think the offensive line has done well, and I think the way that the defensive line has had to answer in response to the unfortunate news about Josh Pascal. I think T.J. Carter, while he's not as dynamic as Pascal, is certainly more experienced. He's got starters reps in the past, and everybody keeps raving about the consistency of Calvin Taylor as those guys try to fill in for Josh Pascal. Quentin Bohanna, sophomore at nose tackle, and you know, Adrian Middleton there being a senior, he's more the consistent guy. And then Marquand McCall, the freshman from Michigan, everybody's raving about him because he's like last year, Quentin Bohanna emerged as a freshman. And Paul's got the same kind of look in terms of strength and just that high-class ceiling that you feel like can really be a game-changer, even as a first-year player down in the trenches.
Fletcher Page, you can read his coverage of Kentucky football through training camp leading up to the September 1st opener at courier-journal.com. Thanks, Fletcher.
Thanks for having me.
See you next week when get back over to football practice as the Wildcats complete their first week of workouts today. By the way, Matt House, the defensive coordinator, was asked yesterday who was catching his eye on the offensive side, and one guy he mentioned was Dorian Baker, had a really good day yesterday, so that was good to hear. About seven away from the top of the hour, final break, and one more segment coming up on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington from the Bahamas.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
Donato's slice of Wildcat history. It's a couple of birthdays today. Good day to be born if you want to coach basketball at Kentucky. Tony Barbie, John Robick celebrating birthdays today. Let's go to the PGA scoreboard. Quick update. Gary Woodland and Brandon Stone. You know those guys, right? Yeah. Well, they're fighting it out for the lead at the PGA Championship right now. Woodland is 1-under through 3 today, 7-under for the tournament. Stone is 6-under through the tournament, 2-under through 8 today. Most of the big names that are in contention through the first round are teeing off in the afternoon today after playing in the morning session yesterday. J.B. Holmes was plus 3 in his first round yesterday. There's some post-game from Kentucky's win last night over San Lorenzo. The guy who was hot early helped shoot the lights out, Quade Green.
So you put in a lot of work last night in the wee hours of the morning. I guess it paid off.
Yeah, it paid off. It's just I wasn't focused yesterday. Just my shot mechanics was off yesterday. Today I had to fix it. Last night I had to fix it in the gym. So today it was a better day.
Just a matter of getting the shots up.
Yeah, just getting the shots up. Just locking in, really. Just missing too much. I never went 1-for-11 in my life, so that really hurt me by surprise. So I had to come in here on my own time and get my shots up.
So were you eager to come out and just get a shot or two up early? To
No, I was going to take my shots like I did yesterday. I was just going to take my shots, good shots, and then yesterday wasn't game. Falling. Today was falling, so you never know.
Was it a coincidence you took the first shot of the game?
Oh, yeah, I was going to take that. I was open. I was like, yeah, let me see. I got hit this. I had to have to.
Was there a little bit of a message to Cal on that shot?
No, it wasn't a message. It was me. That was my fault. Going 1-for-11 yesterday, so yeah, today I did a better job.
How many shots did you put up last night?
I had no clue. I was just by myself just shooting.
Were you confident that kind of shooting night that the whole team had in the game against the Bahamas team?
Yeah,
that's a fluke, right?
Yeah, yesterday I think we went 2-for-20, I think, right. From three. Today we did a better, way better job than that. I think everybody came out, got some sleep, I guess. Everybody had their shooting mechanics ready to lock in a little. So.
You're the first out today as well, even though you were here till 2 a.m.
I was here to work. Kentucky basketball, you got to work.
How much do you think that contributed to the better shooting?
I think when I hit the first shot, I think it got everybody hyped, everybody right, got off the bench, so I think I raised the energy a little bit today. So.
What was it like in the locker room when you guys came back, the lights had gone out, and you didn't know if the game was going to finish?
No, we wasn't worried about none of that.
That's Quade Green. He is always seems like in a good mood, even after a 1-for-11. I probably wasn't in a really good mood then, but he was drenched in sweat half hour before the game yesterday from working so hard in his warm-up. So he was really focused on getting back on track last night, so was happy for him that he did. That's going to do it from the Bahamas for our shows. Game tomorrow night. Coverage will start at 6:30.